Well, for those, and looking around, there may be a few that do not know who I am. My name is Andy Reid. I'm privileged to be part of the central leadership team of River Church, and been here for quite a long time. This morning, I want to follow on in the sort of series and theme that is flowing through this sort of term here in the talks here in Marlow, to do with having a voice, what is your voice, finding a voice. And I want to relate it to myself. I want to relate it to people as individuals, to you as individuals. But also I do sense that there is something for us as a community of faith together, as a congregation together, about the release of a voice. And it is my prayer this morning that that voice corporately is released in a new way. And it's interesting that John says this is going to be a preach like you've never heard before, because it's going to be good. No, sorry. This is going to be a preach like you've never heard before, because actually, the main passage I'm going to look at, I have preached from here before. There we go. And some of you might even remember it. You never know. But I just felt there was something fresh to bring from it this morning. Even though it would have some elements from stuff I'd said before, that were going to come through with a fresh power. So forgive me if you think, oh, well, hang on, he's preached this before. I remember this. Look, I've even got the notes back here. But I do feel God wants to do something new this morning. And I'm encouraged in that for all sorts of reasons, not least a prayer time that as a leadership team with congregational leaders we were having a couple of weeks ago, and some prophetic words that came through relating to Marlow that seemed to confirm that. So that's where I'm coming from. And the title, therefore, is Finding a New and Rediscovering an Old Voice. And I wanted to start, actually, by just saying thank you to some people. Actually, I want to say thank you. I could just go around and spend the next 45 minutes just going around and saying thank you to individuals, all of you. But I'm not going to do that. But there are some people groups of people and individuals I'd like to say thank you to, because sometimes our voice is actually our action. Sometimes the things we do and the way that we do them, those things are our voice. There are people like me who can give it quite a lot of that. But there's a lot of people who say an awful lot from the things that they do and the way that they do them. And as a person, and as one of the leaders of this church, I just want to say thank you for what that voice is saying in the church and to the world. I'd like to say thank you to all the people who turn out week by week and set up the PA. Fantastic group of people, dedicated group of people. I know that as a congregation, I wasn't here, but I believe we've said thank you to Clive for all the work he's done. But as someone who's often been a beneficiary of that, and since I wasn't here, Clive, I'd like to say thank you for your incredible amount of hard work and dedication over the years, helping us with that. And I'd like to say thank you to you. A lot of people don't know what you do. A few of us in leadership do know what you do for the church, and the hours, probably more hours than you should, that you put in, that makes the finances and a lot of the administration of this church work, and it wouldn't work otherwise. And I'd like to say thank you to you. People don't see that voice, don't hear that voice, but they are the beneficiaries of that voice. I'd like to say thank you to you. I'd like to say thank you to all the people who help out with the coffee here week by week. I'd like to count it, and I hope this isn't pride, but I'd like to count it as one of the greater achievements of my short tenure in leadership here, was that I managed to get us introduced to real coffee at this place. But I would like to thank those who actually have carried out that vision, you know? in a leadership meeting the other day, and we were talking about the difference between ideas and vision. And actually, I came up with this phrase in that meeting, that ideas become vision when they're incarnated in people. I just had an idea. It would be nice to have real coffee. That's been translated into a vision by people actually serving it and getting it sorted out week by week. I'd like to say thank you to them. John and Jill Sandiman, I'd like to say thank you to you just because you're faithful people. Still standing for God. And here, week by week, and praying faithfully. And I know praying for us as a leadership, and praying for the leadership of this congregation, and praying before meetings week by week, and serving and helping. And that's a loud voice that is heard in heaven. Paul and Sarah, I'd like to thank you for being prepared to take the brokenness of your life situation and make it into a testimony in your lives to the goodness and faithfulness of God. That is a testimony that isn't just heard here, but is resounds around this area. Let the nations sing, we sang earlier on, and you are part of the nation singing in this little part of the earth because of who you are and what you do and what you stand for. And the way that your lives speak. And you do use your voices occasionally, but a lot more of it is just the people you are and the lives that you are. Sandra, I'd like to thank you for your voice, which isn't heard vocally that often in this context, but just your faithfulness as a member of this congregation, as a leader, as someone supporting Al as well. But not just that. And actually, the bit that a lot of us here don't see, just your faithfulness as a follower of Jesus in business and your determination to do that ministry well. And I'd like to say thank you for that voice. For that voice. Like I say, it's always a bit insidious to start doing this because there's so many that I could point out. But just thank you. Perhaps next time I'll do some more. So I wanted to talk a little bit about finding a new voice, and actually for us to find a new voice, the need for us to sometimes rediscover an old voice as well. And actually for us to individually find a new voice, perhaps it's important to recognize an old voice as well. And I want to talk about the release of the old. And the older I get, the more important that word becomes. But that's not quite what I mean. And the unblocking of stuff which is blocked. But first, as most of you will know, I have a bit of news. And this is to do with a new voice for me. For those that don't know, and why should you in a way, this week on Monday I started a new area of work alongside what I'm doing within River still, and will continue to do, but a new area of work with an organisation called Links International, who are now calling me their CEO, and I feel very privileged and honoured that is the case. And for me, this is a new voice. Lynx is a small-ish charity working in just under 70 nations in the world, working to bring relief of poverty, looking to see solutions found for people that are sustainable, doing that in the name of Jesus, helping other small charities as well to be able to deliver their work into areas all around the world. And key areas of activity for Lynx in terms are things like healthcare, microenterprise development, looking to help people for a sort of a biblical foundation to their marriage, all sorts of stuff like that. And you will, I promise you, hear more about the work of Lynx over the next few months. I can guarantee it. But this is a new voice for me. As I put in an email that I sent around the church, or Chris sent around the church on my behalf, to quote from the book of Joshua, I haven't been this way before. I haven't been this way before. This is a new thing for me. There is a new voice for me to speak out with in this area. This whole area of work is a new voice for me. And yet, actually, it is an old voice for River. It is something, actually, from our heritage and our history. I can remember when, because it was appropriate at the time, and there's no slant on this comment, it was appropriate at the time, giving to Links was a regular part of our annual budget. It was part of our mission giving. Alistair's been involved, as you were on the board, weren't you, Al? Yeah, for quite some time. Nigel Rivers, for those of you that know him, was on the board of Links. I've actually written the magazine for Links International, edited it for about 18 years now. Lina has been a trustee for several years now. So in one sense, this is not a new thing either for me, for us as a family, or for us as a church. We have been linked to Links for many years. Andrew and Linda have some history with Links. And yet for me, it is a new voice. And I do sense, and I'll perhaps talk more about this in just a few minutes, but I do sense that, yes, this is a new thing for me, but it just maybe symbolizes a rediscovery and an unblocking for us as a congregation and as a church from the past as well. There is a link between the new and the future and the past. So, I would just at this point like to say, please pray for me in this new role. I haven't been this way before. I do sense that this is something that has the Lord's hand on it. It wasn't something that I would have seen a few months ago. As I've said to a few people in talking about it, I didn't see it coming until literally a couple of months ago. And yet now, standing here, I can reflect back, look at all the things I've just said in terms of history, look at where I am, look at how God has been leading me, look at the prophetic words that have come to me over the last couple of years at least, things where people have spoken out what they feel God is saying for me and my future, and I kind of go, well, of course. But it wasn't something I saw coming. Actually, that's probably just worth emphasizing, because I do feel this morning that there's going to be things where God is going to speak new things into people's hearts. But actually, when you reflect back, you're going to go, oh yeah, of course. But please pray for me. It is a big thing, and I really do value your prayers and support in it. I will be, as I say, talking more about it as the months go on. But I want to get into a bit of scripture. So let's have a look at Genesis 26. And this is from the Message version of the Bible. But you can have a look in your own versions and make sure that I'm not making it up as I go along. So Genesis 26, and it's kind of in the middle of the chapter. And this is a passage that I keep coming back to again and again. I keep speaking from this passage. I keep referring to this passage. I can't get away from this passage and some of the, what I believe to be, incredibly important principles contained within it. And I believe, that's why I'm speaking from it yet again this morning, that it is a passage that actually is very appropriate, says a lot into where we are at as a church generally, and where this congregation is at, and where individuals are at. But it does speak into this area of finding a voice, releasing an old voice. And the situation is, without going into all of what's happened before, is that Isaac has copied his dad and lied about the status of his wife, said that she was his sister, and through a whole thing to do with that, he ends up being told to leave the country that he's been living in. And so he and his family and entourage, servants and cattle and all the rest of it, have to leave. And it starts with that. So Isaac left. He camped in the valley of Gerar and settled down there. Isaac dug again the wells which were dug in the days of his father Abraham, but had been clogged up by the Philistines after Abraham's death. In fact, just a couple of verses before, it talks about the Philistines doing that, and it says in the New King James Version that they filled the wells with earth. And he renamed them using the original names his father had given them. One day, as Isaac's servants were digging in the valley, they came on a well of spring water. The shepherds of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's shepherds, claiming this water is ours. So Isaac named the well Esek Quarrel, because they quarreled over it. They dug another well, and there was a difference over that one too, so he named it Sitnah, which means accusation. He went on from there and dug yet another well. Yet another well. But there was no fighting over this one. So he named it Rehoboth, which means wide open spaces, saying, now God has given us plenty of space to spread out in the land. Let's just look at the first bit. He camps in the valley of Gerar and he digs again the wells that were dug in the days of his father Abraham. Isaac reopened wells that had been blocked by enemy action. And there are wells here today that have been blocked by enemy action. There's wells in people's lives individually. And dare I say it, I believe there are wells for us as a congregation together. What are wells? Well, wells are things which are intended for blessing, aren't they? They are there, obviously, to bring water in a thirsty land. They're there to bring fresh water. And yes, I guess they are to some extent there for the sake of the person who digs them, but it's rare to have a private well, isn't it? A well is there for the community. A well is a place that people gather. A well is a place which speaks of community, actually. In lands where people still go to wells, they are the school gates, if you like. They are the place where people gather. They are the place where people find fellowship. They are the place where stories are exchanged, where news is exchanged. Wells speak both of refreshing and of community. And isn't that what we're supposed to be? Corporately. And individually, actually. But corporately, that's what we are here for. To be that in a thirsty land. So I'll say it again. I dare to say, I believe there are wells that are blocked here. And they need to be unblocked. I say that with no judgment or condemnation, but I believe it's true. And Isaac unblocks the wells. There was, to use another analogy, a voice that had been made silent. And the blessing that voice was supposed to bring had been lost to the world. But Isaac unblocked the wells. And that voice was heard again in the land. And it's interesting what he does, isn't it? You see, Isaac, in a sense, could have been forgiven for unblocking the wells and calling them whatever he liked. He could have called the well Isaac's blessing number one and Isaac's blessing number two. He could have called the well Isaac Refreshment Ministries, Inc. But he didn't. He renamed them in the same name that his father had given them. In other words, he honoured the past before he went on into his future. Had his past always been perfect? I'm sure it hadn't been. The whole mess that he got into just before this, where he pretends his wife is his sister, well, if you go back a few chapters, his dad did that twice. So where did Isaac learn it from? And yet, he doesn't stand there saying, well, all my dad did was get me into trouble. I'm going to call the well what I like. Interesting, isn't it? He honours the past. This community of people sat before me, and people not here today. And some of you have been around a very long time. Some of you longer than me, even. Some of you, you've only been here a few weeks and you wonder who the heck this guy is. But this community of people has so much potential. There is so much gifting sitting in front of me. So much anointing. Marlowe's got talent. And that is being expressed in many and various ways. And I said thank you to some people, and I could carry on saying thank you for the stuff that is happening. But can I say this? Well, I can, because I was told in the prayer meeting I could say what I liked. That potential isn't fully realised here. If it was, and this is only one very, very, very small marker, but if it was, we wouldn't fit in this room. And I know it's not all about numbers. Please, please don't come up to me afterwards and say, well, it's about the kingdom, and it's not just all about how big the church is. And I know that, please. But one small marker would be we wouldn't fit in this room. But there would be many others in terms of lives changed, kingdom projects being expressed, the kingdom of God being extended in this area. Please, I'm part of this community. I'm not pointing the finger. Or if I am, there's, as they always say, three pointing back at me. I'm just saying some wells have got blocked. Do I have a measure of agreement for what I'm saying? And it's not us that have blocked the wells. Notice it wasn't Abraham that blocked his own wells. It wasn't Isaac that blocked the wells. It was the enemy. We have an enemy who will look to block wells, who will look to strangle a voice that will be heard in the land for the name of Jesus. But it's time for those wells to be unblocked. And I speak that out. It's time. It's time. Things that I know are part of our heritage, just like these wells were in the land. I know this would be in my head, wouldn't it? Because I've just taken on this role. But this congregation, for me, has always represented two very interesting things held in tension, and that is people with wealth and great jobs, and this area is, you know, even if you don't feel wealthy, if you live here, believe me, you're wealthy in world terms. All of that coupled with an incredible heart for the poor. and not just the poor of this country, but the poor around the world. That is a well that is in this congregation, that heart for the poor. And can I say, I just sense maybe some of that's got a bit blocked. Generosity has always been a hallmark of this congregation. Please don't tell me about economic circumstances. We've lived through all sorts of economic circumstances. I know it's tough out there. I also know generosity isn't actually much to do with economic circumstances. It's a heart thing. Just wonder whether maybe that's got blocked somewhere along the way. Not just money. I might speak out one or two others as we go along, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as well. How do wells get blocked? In Genesis 26:15, it talks about the blocking of the wells, and like I said, in the New King James Version, it says that the enemy has blocked them with earth. And I looked up what that word earth meant, what the Hebrew word was, and it's a Hebrew word, orphar, or for. And actually, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean earth, but it can mean dust. Dust is the accumulation of the insignificant. One speck of dust, you don't notice it. But leave it, and it accumulates, doesn't it? Who's got a wooden floor? Who knows how dust can accumulate on a wooden floor? One minute it seems there's nothing, the next minute there's sort of this ball of stuff in the corner somewhere. Not in your homes, I'm sure. Just me, because it's my job to do the hoovering. Dust is the accumulation of the insignificant, things that creep into our lives that don't seem like they're that big a deal, so we ignore it. But the longer we ignore it, bad stuff, I mean, those specks of dust all add up, don't they? And they end up blocking the well. It can mean rubbish. What is rubbish? Just think about what rubbish is, what's in your bin. In general, rubbish is stuff that was useful once, it's just outlived its usefulness. Packaging from what you buy in the shops, it's useful, isn't it? You wouldn't really want to get baked beans just ladled into your hands. The tins are useful, but once they've been opened and emptied, they're really not that useful, so you chuck them away. So what is there in your life that was useful once and you're still hanging on to it, but its usefulness got used up a long time ago? Because it blocks the well. And most painful of all, it can mean ashes. And ashes, obviously, is the remnant of stuff which has been burnt, which speaks to me of disappointments and disillusionments in our lives. And they block the well. But it all needs clearing out. And it says Isaac and his servants unblock the wells. And of course the reality is we, in the sense that I'm talking about, we can't actually unblock them ourselves, can we? But God can, by his Spirit. And it's out of your innermost being that flows rivers of living water. That's a God thing. But we have to recognize it for what it is and be prepared to let him. So there's wells to be unblocked from the past. And the good news is there's new wells to be dug for the future. But please notice, I don't think we can dig the new wells until we've sorted the old ones out. And I think for some of us that's been the problem. Maybe. We've wanted to move on into new things, and we've just met frustration, and things haven't worked. Well, just maybe it's because there's some honouring of the past and some unblocking that has to go on first. Individually, maybe corporately. One day, as Isaac's servants were digging in the valley, they came on a well of spring water. Fantastic! We've done the old, now we can move on into the new. But who's noticed that it wasn't quite that straightforward for Isaac? And it's interesting. Scripture, as far as I read it, is kind of a bit ambivalent about whether this was more enemy action or just Isaac and his servants getting it wrong. Because read what happens. They try digging, and actually they're still on someone else's land. And the shepherds of Gerar come along and say, "This water's ours." Well, technically they probably weren't wrong. It is my experience that finding what God has for me is not always straightforward. I could be really spiritual, or I could just say you have to kiss a lot of frogs. Works out the same. Paul in Acts is on a mission with a great group of people with him. But there's this fantastic bit where he doesn't know which way to go. Now, scripture kind of makes it all sound quite nice and it's taken care of in a verse or two. And so we sort of read it and think it's all very spiritual. But the reality is, Paul tries to go one way and God says, "Nope, got that wrong." So then he regroups and then he tries to go another way and God still says, "No, you've got it wrong." And finally he has a dream and a man of Macedonia says, "Come over to me." And Paul wakes up in the morning and says, "We're going over there now." Just put yourself in the place of the people who are traveling with him. This is Paul, the great leader, and he's got it wrong twice. Interestingly, they're still following him when he wakes up in the morning and says, "I've had a dream." I kind of think that was probably his last chance with that group of people, though. Paul got it wrong. We can spiritualize it. We can tidy it up. We can read through it quickly. But the reality is, as I read it, Paul got it wrong. And then finally gets it right. I identify with that. That's why I love scripture. People get it wrong before they get it right. And we're told about it. I've been looking for what the next thing God had for me for some time, people. I really have. Some of you know that because you've prayed for me in it and you've been part of that journey with me. And I've pushed doors. At times those doors have stayed fairly solidly shut. That's not always easy. Sometimes that has led to the odd quarrel and the odd accusation. If I'm honest, either by me or directed against me. But I kept going. Because I didn't know what else to do, actually. Isaac kept going. Some of you, you're encountering quarrel an accusation. And can I just say, it might not be the enemy. It might just be a process you're going through. And God will teach you stuff through it. Keep going. Because Isaac then reaches a place where they dig a well. And he calls it Rehoboth because it's a wide open place. I stand here this morning feeling like I personally am in a wide open space. In a new way, with the new role I'm taking on. It is a wide open place. It is Rehoboth for me. So maybe I speak about it more passionately than I otherwise would. But I passionately believe it's available for all of us. That place of wide open space where we know that God has spoken and we know that the well that is open is ours. It's not anyone else's. We're not on someone else's land. No one's going to evict us. There's not going to be quarrel or accusation. Even though it's a well not just for us, it is our well. This morning, people need to hear that and find new hope. I know what it's like to get prophetic words that keep talking about being on the verge of something. Believe me, I had so many verges, it was like the flipping M1. And encouraging though they were, you do kind of reach a point of thinking, when's it actually going to end? But it did for Isaac, and it did for me, and it will for you. I speak that out. It will for you as an individual, but I believe it needs to for us as a community together. And that's about it, really. There are old voices needing to be heard again. Can I say, some of you are sitting in front of me. We need to hear your old voice. And we need to hear what you represent again. And if you feel that it hasn't been valued, I would like to apologize if that's been part of what the enemy has used to discourage you and block that well. But it is of value. And if it's been circumstances, and if it's been disappointment, if it's been the ashes of disappointment that have blocked the well for you, there is healing. If it's been sin, let's call it what it is, that's been the accumulation of dust in your life, there is forgiveness. But there does need to be repentance, a change of heart and mind and direction. If it's rubbish, in a way, that's the easiest to deal with, isn't it? We just recognize that actually this was useful, but it's not useful anymore. This habit, this way of doing things, this way of thinking about myself. Let's just be quiet for a moment. Just allow the Spirit to speak to us just for a moment, and then I'm going to hand over to Emma.
I don't want to lose this key moment, so I'll try and do it as sensitively as I can. Andy, you're really carrying something there, and I think if people were stirred up by what you said and you would like Andy to pray for you, then I think that would be great to do that. I'm going to get Andrew just to play a bit of background music. If you were stirred up by anything this morning that was said, don't go without getting somebody to pray for you, Andy or another member of the congregation. You know, we can't go and just think that was a nice message and get back to normal life. Get somebody to pray for you. I don't know if Rosie wanted to share her painting at some point, but if Annie could pray for people, if you would like Andy to come and pray for you, then go to him or just get somebody else to do that. Thank you.